Join us for this week's message, Called to Favor, already in progress.
You got that? God didn't say, I don't want you dreaming. See, what he could have done at that point is, I want you to listen to me. Mike, you typing away, huh? Finish your sentence. God, I want you to hear this. Good. Now you going. That's all right. Listen, he could have said, you see what this dreaming has got me? To heck with all these dream things. I'm just going to work, get my promotion, and I'm not dreaming no more. Maybe he did say that. Maybe that was his decision. But Potiphar's wife and what she did put him back into a place where he needed to be dreaming again. In jail, he decided, well, ain't no work to do. I got plenty of time to dream right now. I don't know if this is what happened, but you can look at the progression of the story and see that what he was called to do was challenged by the outcome it brought him. Because what he was called to do was still very wrapped up in his flesh. The outcome now challenged it to a level of purity. That's where I am. I feel like all the dreams and visions before me have been smacked up to this war where I feel, I don't even feel like I want to dream anymore. I don't want to have these visions. Get them away from me. My life is okay. God, can you please leave me alone with all this vision stuff? You feel it? But the core of who I am won't let that be. Am I talking to anybody today? Am I speaking right where you are? See, I try to go before the Lord. And see, so I did hear from the Lord when I picked the scriptures. Hallelujah. I try to challenge you with the truth of this walk with God, not spirituality. You know, the Lord could do, just believe, confess the right word. No, bro, don't say that. Just continue to speak, it is done. Yeah. After a while, it's like, okay, I'm tired of speaking, it is done. Can I have some done for real, please? I'm tired of confessing I'm great. Can I see some greatness, please? Yes? But the scenario keeps coming back that your situations are going to force you to change or to embrace where you already are harder. He couldn't run home to daddy and say, daddy, they picking on me now. So he's in a place now where he's working. All right? Dreaming got me this, so now I'm going to work hard. So he worked. And it said, and when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph once again found favor. I want you to catch this. You ready? You ready? Joseph had an anointing to find favor. Look at this. He found favor with his daddy. His brothers got pissed with that and threw him in the pit. He goes somewhere else and he's working, and now he finds favor with his master who promotes him. If you got an anointing for favor, you also have an anointing for attracting enemies. I hate to say that. It sounds so bad. Sure. What do you think this is for? That's why I'm here. I'm here. Blessed means highly favored and enviable. So you get the two-edged sword. High favor and envy. And I've never met a person who envies me who was nice to me. They'll be nice-ish. They'll be friendly-esque. But their overall tone is bitterness. And you can feel. I just got an opinion, just something I want to share with you, something you need to think about. And just as it's coming out their mouths, you know Yeah, but this ain't coming from a holy place. You're trying to put me down. I can feel it. But you try to be open because you know. This is what comes with blessing. The other side of that is envy. Now, why is this important? Because to some of us, come on, let's be honest. We've started the message with this. Being liked and approved of is very important to us. Are you listening to me? Well, if blessed means also being favored and at the same time being enviable, how are you going to try to take what God wants to use to promote you and reject it because it doesn't fit? Why you want to despise the thing he uses? How important is it to you for people to like you? Listen, this is huge for me because I've become less and less concerned as I'm getting older about who likes me and who don't. Now, before I would say, I don't care who likes me, but yes, I did. I cared so doggone much that it mattered to me to say that I don't care. Does that make sense? I don't care if you like me or not. You do care. That's why you're saying it. It means a lot. That's why you're saying it. My wife always had this ability to go, ain't no big deal. It is what it is. And I would go, no, but did you see what they did, though? She's like, so? I'm like, how could you be so insensitive? She just had this ability to just kind of like, And I'm looking at it now from the point of view of the Spirit going, I get it. I need to be really, I know this is so cliche, but I really need to be more concerned about how God sees me and why God has me in a place that everywhere I go, I wind up getting put at the top and as a result, acquiring some enemies. Is this good? Is it helpful? You need to hear this. So this man once again gets thrown away by his brothers and he winds up in the place again of receiving favor and promotion. Now this has to be interesting because being promoted by your dad and loved by your dad is one thing. Being favored by your father is another. Being favored in a foreign country by a place that you don't even belong, it's got to be an issue. Let me see if you get this, because maybe you don't. It's got to be rough if you've been a citizen of that country all your life, and here comes this guy from the outside, and not only does he get promoted, he gets to live in Potiphar's house. He gets the high life. It's a problem. All the people that have been working for Potiphar for all these years, kissing his hiney and doing everything they can to get him to approve of them. And here you bring some Israelite. He don't even belong in this country. And now he's over us. He's the boss now. And he's the one that gets to live in your house and eat the good food while we just barely paying our bills. He gets to live rent free. In your house, favor. But favor brings opposers. Because there are people, Lord, teach me how to say this to these people. The balance that I'm dealing with is this. The favor of the Lord brings people that envy you. But I have to focus on the favor of the Lord. And not the people who envy me. And that's hard to do because the favor of the Lord is spiritual and the envy of people is personable and you can feel it right there in your face every day. The challenges that come with you being led by the Lord and other people looking at you and not understanding that you're being led by the Lord, but you just seem to be getting yourself promoted. I don't know what she did. She must have slept with him. Whatever they come up with to try to justify you being where you are Problem number two it poses is this. You ready? You didn't do anything to be favored. They're working their behind off to get this notice, and you get the promotion. They do stuff to try to mess your thing up, but you wind up on top. They just don't get it. Now, problem number three, very serious problem. You're listening? You feel a need to go back and explain to them why you promoted and hope that they understand so they'll stop not liking you. So here's what you're doing. You're apologizing for God's good work in your life. You're trying to break down the move of God to some low level so that they can accept it and appreciate you. And in the process, you're discarding the gift of God on your life. You're talking it down to an earthly level. How you think that gonna go? Have you ever done it? How did it work? Did they turn around and say, well, now that you explained it that way, I love you now. Did they stop envying you? You see the insanity? Now, he was able to see that the Lord was with him. Let's go back to that. Who was able to see that? No. Look at it. Potiphar was able to see that the Lord was with Joseph. Let me see if we got that right. You with me? Sure? Who was able to see that the Lord was with him? Well, Potiphar don't serve the Lord. Potiphar is not an Israelite. They got a whole different God. They have the statues and all the stuff that they have, right? So wait a minute. How could he see that the Lord is with Joseph? So basically, Joseph's God was revealed to Potiphar because of Potiphar's success. Okay, I'm gonna see who's listening. I'm asking a question. No, what's the answer? Because of Joseph, right? He didn't decide he liked his God because he was doing well. He decided he liked his God because Joseph was succeeding at everything he did. So Potiphar got introduced to Joseph's God because of Joseph's work ethic and Joseph's success. Correct? So somebody didn't know his God, start to know his God because of his success. Now, I think the enemy might take issue with that. You understand? And I'm not meaning necessarily the enemy, the devil, but we know who we're talking about. So Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted him to care of everything he owned, just like Daddy did. Let me say something to you, because I could preach this and you could go out of here and not get the point. So let me try to bring the point in. If you're anointed to prosper, then you're anointed with favor. If you're anointed with favor, then you're going to have opposers. You have to decide that the outcome is worth the issues. Sherry, you're modeling now. If you as you become more successful, you will have more haters. And the thing about the career you're in, the haters show themselves quick. They don't even wait till you big. You get to walk with them every time you do a show. You have a room full of them just waiting and looking the moment you walk in the room. Who she thinks she is? Where she come from? How come they let her get to wear what she wants? Automatically, right? This is the opportunity to receive or run. The opportunity to grow and be changed in your efforts or run away from them. I'm in that place right now. I feel challenged by what's in front of me. I feel overwhelmed by it, and I can feel the haters. And there's a part of me that just does not want to be bothered. I don't mind the favor part. I like that. I could do that all day. I don't mind the opportunity part. I like that all day. I don't like the pressure that comes from those who oppose. And for that reason, you get tired. You keep pushing on doors of people who are never going to open the door for you, instead of going through the doors that God is leading you through. As we continue going through this, I want you to notice something. Everything that was done to give Joseph success came from the haters. Every promotion came from an act of a hater. Every major move came from a conflict that not only promoted him, but caused him pain. In some cases, great pain. Being thrown in jail because your brothers don't want you is painful. Being thrown in jail for attempted rape when the woman tried to rape you is painful. This is a man who's being prosecuted consistently and persecuted for stuff he's not doing. But the outcome of that, so you say, I got to get arrested and go through stuff. I'm not telling you what you got to do. I'm telling you that the road to what God has called you to is not going to be paved with everybody kissing you and loving you. It's not going to be surrounded with friendship and flowers. There are going to be those who oppose you. And sometimes those in your very house. Not going to like you. It's rough. But it's part of the process. It makes you better. If I didn't go through what I went through with the people that were here and what they did, that made me a stronger, better person. It really changed me. It humbled me in a lot of ways. People say it made me strong. I don't mean strong. I'm just going to be strong, and I know people do it to me again, I'm not going to feel it. No, that's not strong. Strong was okay. I understand that this is a part of life, and I understand my contribution to that could have been a lot different itself, and I need to, monitor my own self, but I also need to monitor what's around me and who's saying what and why they're saying it. I could have saw that afar off if I had paid attention. So I'm watching it. So who's around you now that you're trying to embrace and bring close and don't realize that there's some of Joseph's brothers? Who you trying to be so close to because you think they're going to be the one that's going to help or care about you, and the outcome is going to be, no, that's not their position in your life. Me and my niece had a conversation, and I was like, why are people there? We need to ask that question. What's their purpose? Let's not get so caught up in what we want it to be. Why? I don't care if it's a boss who shows you favor and kindness. Listen, we're all in love and favor Potiphar showed him. His wife said that to him, to jail his behind went. Favor was gone in a day. In a day. He didn't say, let me think about this. I really love it. Let me just put him in a different house. He was like, no, throw his behind in jail. Let him rot. Let me not even investigate. See, come on, he didn't know his wife was loose. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he ain't the first one. He's the first one recorded biblically. But I'm sure if that's how she got down, that's how she got down. Come on now. He went and, found her online and thought she was cute and a little goofy, little one of them kind of wives, and just got him a little, what do you call it, they call him, the guys of sugar daddy, they call her what? Is that what they call them, sugar babies? Yeah, she was his little, yeah, he was her gold, she was a gold digger. Living up in his house and trying to sleep with all the servants, right? And he's out there trying to take over the world and rule stuff, and this is what he got. He got a basketball wife, right? So listen, he didn't care. His pride was hurt that she went after Joseph, and all of a sudden, all the favor that he earned tossed him into prison. You with me? Let me ask a question. Is anybody tired? Emotionally, whatever. I mean, I don't know if emotional is the word, but it could be. It feels like it. In the pursuit of what you believe God has called you to, and it just feels like you just keep getting mushed around by it, and you feel tired. Sometimes you ain't gonna quit. You're gonna hold on. But, if I gotta go around this mountain one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the place that I'm in. But I understand in that place that the best me's have come forward. I'm not saying that God got to put you through suffering to teach you something. A lot of times it's just that you just don't get it until you get it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not talking about suffering that God puts you through, but I am talking about the reality of an education. Here's what I mean. I don't care how much you tell your kids fire is hot. It means nothing to them till they touch the fire. There's no association for them to make that real. Nothing. If God could just speak to me from heaven and it just totally clicked to me in earth and everything I'm supposed to do, that would be great. But usually I have to find myself somewhere that challenges what I believe, not to kill me, not to hurt me, but to make me use that which I've been trained to use but have never had to need to use. Yeah. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Because I've had people say to me, "Now, I know you don't believe in suffering." I'm like, what? I don't believe God puts suffering on you, because the scripture doesn't say he does. And the kind of suffering you're talking about, like cancers and diseases and sicknesses and all of that, I know don't come from God, but I've suffered. I've struggled through things. I had to overcome things. I had to overcome myself in a lot of things. But that process, a lot of times, is because people see the greatness of God on you. And sometimes they see it when you don't. So they position themselves to stop you. Sometimes people closest to you, they position themselves to stop you. Sometimes maybe not even intentional. But they do. Because they have a role. They have a role. I didn't say a goal. I said a row. They're there for a season or for a moment. And sometimes that season and that moment and what they're actually doing to you is God design. It's a good design to bring something out of me that I didn't want to look at, to make me face stuff that I didn't want to face. So I was talking to Pastor Fontaine, and he went through a similar situation at church that I went through. And we were talking about it. And he said, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to let things go. You got to let the people go. You got to let it go. And when he said it, I was getting ready to say, that's right. And God did one of those. I want to make sure you understand what you're about to say right to. I want to make sure we understand what we're agreeing to here. He said, you're going to agree, but I'm going to make sure you understand what you're agreeing to. I said, okay. How do you get somebody out of your life that's in your life? There's certain people that you just can't get rid of. They're just there. Your kids are your kids. Your family's your family, your wife's family is your wife's family, your husband's family is your husband's family. There's certain people you might feel like you can't stand, but you can't get rid of them. They are who they are. And until they die, they're here. And so when I was going to agree with let them go and move on, God said, letting go is not the physical act of avoiding them. Letting go is the spiritual act of letting go what they do to you emotionally. You can let the person still be there and still let them go. Their hold is what you need to let go of. Their effect on you is what you need to let go of. The things that they do that all of a sudden make you go a certain way emotionally is what you got to let go of. May not be the person that needs to be released. It's how they affect you that needs to be released. Did that help somebody?
Absolutely.
Now, I just got this yesterday, so I'm new to it still, so trust me. And so I shared that with Pastor Fontaine. He went, because it was right where he was. Right. You can't let go of some of these people. They family. But you can let go of what they, who they are, what they say, and how they say it, what it does to you. So I said, okay, I receive that. I receive that. I receive the fact that the challenges are designed to change me, to make me stronger, make me better. They're designed to make me still focus on God, even though circumstances don't seem to line up. If you're expecting me to give your full answers to everything today, don't hold your breath. I'm still sorting. I'm just giving you what I got so far so that we could be on the same page going forward. What God showed me was he called this man to have favor and called him to greatness. But people around him didn't all respond to it with love and kindness. We find out later that his brothers wound up coming to him in famine and his father, and he wound up providing them a nice retirement and a good life. What we don't pay attention to was the stuff he had to go through to get to the place where he could provide that retirement wasn't received by his brothers with warmth and love. They didn't see his vision and say, well, I love you, brother. One day you're going to hook us up. We so appreciate you. Their response to that was rejection. Their response to that was misunderstanding. Their response to that was a personal attack on themselves. They took it as, you think you're better than us. And their response to his calling to eventually be a help to them was to reject him. Now, nobody's ever had that problem? Nobody? You trying to help people and the result they took from it was rejection? Never? Have you ever yourself taken somebody's help for you as rejection? No? I was going to say, you're lying your behinds off. Because they do it to us and we do it to them. So in this season, I'm asking God, make me see the bigger picture again. It comes back to the wake up, sleeping giant. Maybe see the bigger picture. Forget what even their intention is. What's your intention in this? What is it that you're trying to get me to see that I don't see yet? This man saw that God worked with him. He promoted him, made him the head of his house, entrusted all of the thing, everything in his care to him. And from that time, put him in charge of his household and all that he owned. And the Lord blessed the man's household. Listen, because of Joseph. He blessed his household because of Joseph. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. And with Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, I want you to get this, because this is where I'm bringing it home. Let's talk about now the stupidity of us that's like Potiphar. Let's talk about how stupid like Potiphar we can be. You ready? So let's find out. Potiphar purchases Joseph, brings him home, puts him to work. Joseph works. What happens as a result of Joseph's work? Potiphar promotes him. And Potiphar promotes him because of what? His ethic. But he can see. He can see the Lord. I want you to pay attention to this. Pay close attention. Mike, lift your head up for a minute. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. And then you can go back around. You're going to remember this. I want to make sure we don't make these mistakes anymore in our lives. Because I know I've done them. I know you've done them. So he gets a man working for him. He can see that God is working with him. So now he can see a God through this man. I'm going to make sure you see this. He sees that God's working with this man. And then as we just read, I don't know if you caught it. Not only did he put everything in his care so that he didn't have to worry about nothing. I want that person that I could just put over all my stuff and all I got to think about is what I eat. Did you catch that? My bank account is booming. My life is going well. It said he prospered because of Joseph. So he got a person that he could do all his work. And all he had to do is think about it, eat. And he threw him in jail for a gold digger. I'm keeping Joseph. You go into jail.
Okay.
Excuse me. So here's what I'm trying to say. How many times do we get a Joseph put in our life? And we choose the gold digger. How many times did God put something in our life that's there, that he put there to prosper you, but you get so caught up in the other junk and trying to please everybody else and get people to like you and get people to accept you that you're willing to run away the person God put there to keep that one? I figured that'd be a good place to bring it home. How could you see all of that and then for a moment throw it away? How could you look and see the move of God? Boom, 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 boom in my life. But because I don't like that, I'm just going to get rid of it. Because it just don't seem right. I don't feel right. I don't know. It just because somebody said this and I just thought about it and I think they're right. I've done it. I don't ever want to do it again. I don't ever want the outside influences of the haters make me make decisions that throw away the anointing. If God is prospering you or moving you, and Mike, Senior, we had this conversation one time. Be careful of the haters around the office talking. Remember, you said you went in the next day and you heard yourself was like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. Because that favor's on you, and now here they come. Well, you know what I think, though? I think this about the boss, and I think all of a sudden you're starting to go, you know, you're right. But you're being promoted. You're getting favor. And here they come, and even if you're not, here they come trying to pull you into a mindset to make you reject the object of blessing in your own life. Make you begin to despise. Well, you know, you're trying to do that. That's hard, Rachel. That's hard. Well, good luck with that, but, you know, that's really hard. I mean, I could let you talk to my friend. He tried it. You know, he could give you some pointers. Did he succeed in it? No. Then I don't want to talk to him. What do I talk to him for? You want to give me somebody else to tell me how hard it is? I don't. And we'll take that person. Married women will go to a divorced woman who's been divorced 3 times to get marital advice. I can tell you the things to look out for, girl, because I've been married 3 times. No, you can tell me how to get a divorce. You don't know. But tell me, what should I watch out for? You don't want to ask her. She don't know. I've had friends have male friends, married 3 or 4 times. They always want to come to me and tell me, well, let me tell you something about marriage. I don't even think you're going to be married too much longer. I don't even want to, you don't know nothing about marriage. You know about being in and out of relationships. You don't know about marriage. I can look, and I'm beginning to look, at God's success rate in a person's life. Not what I call success, or what I would deemed successful for me. That's deep right there if you catch that. I begin to look at people and say, yeah, but he's consistently has the favor of God on his life. He ain't where I want to be, but he knows how to receive the favor of God. He walks in the favor of God. She walks in the favor of God. I want that. I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to that. No, they can't tell you how to get to the stars where you want to go. But they know how to get the favor of God. And you might need to tap into that and not reject them because they don't have dreams as big as you. They got something you need for your dreams to be filled. So when I stand here and tell you I feel tired, I tell you that for a reason. I want you to know that I go through what you go through. But I'll tell you this, my life, God has been consistently a great provider, exceedingly abundantly. I've never not seen, and I'm going to tell you something. God said to me the other day, he was speaking to me, he said, I don't want to sound redundant. This is what God said to me. I don't want to sound redundant. But you do realize that your life is something you once dreamed of. He said, you do realize that the life you have is a fantasy come true for you. You do realize that. And he had to say it to me that way, because if he had said, well, come on, you got a building and you got a house and you got another one. I already know that. Okay, I know that. Okay, what about the other thing? So God had to take it to me in a way, you do realize that the life you have today was what's a fantasy to you. Yes, Father. He said, so if the next, this is the, now you're like the first part. I hope you're like the second part is good. He said, if the next fantasy is eluding you, the issue is not me, but you then. And you allowing me to clear the mess out. So, Rhonda, let's go back to where we started when you asked me to explain better. I got the vision where I was. Joseph had the vision, and in his vision was all his pride and his arrogance. He had to get locked down for a little bit to separate all of his ideas and opinions from the vision. The vision is for an appointed time. But though it tarry, wait on it. For in the end, it will speak and not lie. And I did a whole message on it. I won't do it again. The vision ain't asking for your help. It ain't asking for you to speak for it. It has never asked for your input. It just is. What have I done with my speaking that's gotten in the way of the vision? How I'm speaking, who I'm speaking to, and what favor have I run away? Because my wife didn't like it. Not Angela, my wife, but using Potiphar as a situation. You got your own homework to do. I won't be checking it. I won't be grading. But the proof will show itself if 3 months from now you're still kicking the same rocks. My goal is not to be. God said this was going to be an easy year. And in my spirit, I meant to, right away I said, oh, good, I mean, I don't get to do nothing. It was like, no. No, I'm talking about a natural change, but your spiritual, the spiritual need for you to grow never stops. Your spiritual comprehension continues to flourish, amen? It has to keep getting bigger. And once it stops, a little folding of the hands asleep, a little slumber, and poverty comes on you like an armed man. It's in the word. We have a spiritual work to do to stay focused. And it's a process to stay focused on God and on the word of God. It's a process for me to feel like God is saying to me, I can't take you any further. And I feel like I'm in prison. I feel like I'm in that place that Joseph found himself. All his vision, all his dream, and feel locked down. And it keeps coming back to me. I spoke this. I spoke this. And I did things to confirm that I was speaking it. All the stuff you're adding to it, I can't do nothing with. So I got to go back to my roots. I have to unlearn a bunch of stuff I've learned. I learned a lot of stuff. That some of it may be very valuable someday to this process. But I do believe this. Everything in this process all works together for your good. Now, just a quick recap. I am not talking about diseases and sickness and homelessness and pain and suffering. Not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about the process of separating the wheat from the chaff. I am talking about you being put in situations where your fortitude is tested and challenged to see if you really believe what you say you believe. I am talking about you being put in a place where what you're standing for looks like it's being pulled away from you in every direction and you still holding on to the fact that God's promises are real. I am saying that. I am saying your faith will be challenged for growth's sake. And whether you fold under the challenge, run from it, or stand to it, is going to decide if you win or if you lose. Amen? Amen. You can stand with me if you please. Edward, that amen and the head nod, I know you're new to it, that means.